Hi, I'm Brendan Fraser. You're
listening to the Phrasing the Bar podcast.
Yeah, Jess, you start this one. Let's not forget. This is your show. We are just guests.
Just start it with that thing you always say when we start the show that we all remember.
Sup, you cucks. And welcome to everyone's favourite Brendan Fraser podcast.
Is that
everyone's
the one you
favorite, the Yes, it is number one on the charts under the category of Brendan Fraser.
Wow, I'm
My
so glad.
My name is always... Jessica, shut up, Dave. I'm doing an intro. My name is always Jessica Ann Louise Bethany Perkins. And I'm joined... as I always am, by my best friend in the entire world, Matthew James Lightbulb Stewart. And our most recent addition, David James Candle Labra.
Oh,
two different names? Candle yes. and Labra?
Yes. Candle and Labra.
Candle, pause, Labra.
Gentlemen, welcome.
I think I didn't know about two of those middle names of yours. Are they genuine?
Nah.
Bethany and... No, you've added them in.
Louise?
Yeah, just added them for fun.
Bethany was going to be my name if I was a girl.
Really? That's nice. I was going to be Liam.
So.
Ah, I would have been Charlotte.
Cute.
Oh, that's a nice name. Nice name.
Yeah, that's hey, very... Think, you both had lovely names.
Yeah, and they we ended up with dull boy names when we had real nice girl names.
We were ready to go.
Because you could have been like a Bethany. Lottie or a Charlie. We're big for Charlotte's. Bethany, Beth. So good. Great names.
F.
Liam. Still good.
Annie. Liam, you could have been Am. You could have been Ian.
Lee.
Lie.
Yeah.
Leah.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun we could have had, but unfortunately we're stuck with these dog shit names and stuck doing terrible podcasts together forever.
What?
Oh, well.
Hey, I'm loving life. I'm living life and I'm loving life.
We already explained to the Patreons in the last episode, bonus episode, which is going to come out probably 24 hours before this one, that I'm a bit sick. And I did a lot of talking in the last episode that we recorded half an hour ago. And so I feel like I've already done my share and I'm going to sit out for a lot of this. I'm here. I'm going to nod so you guys can see that. But I think I'm done.
Look, you say that, but something tells me, Jess, you're going to have some opinions on this movie.
I hate that I spent any time watching this.
Oh, okay.
This is someone's art, Jess. It's paid a bit of respect.
No.
I think we're kind of like the three little bears or whatever that Goldilocks thing is in terms of sickness. Jess, her sickness is too hot. Dave's is too cold and mine is just right. I'm getting to the end of it and I'm feeling on top of the world. It's funny how at the end of a cold I feel healthier
ages.
Than before. Yeah, I have. It's stretched out a bit. But I'm feeling when you get to the end of it, it's like all of a sudden you feel... Normal feels like amazing.
So is being sick worth it, would you say?
Oh, yeah.
No,
I hate it. That perspective.
Okay.
I'm at like day four or five now, Matt. How much longer is this going to go on?
I think you're only maybe two or three days behind me, maybe. I can't remember. Time's lost all meaning in recent years.
It doesn't matter anymore. Whatever. But anyway, so what are we talking about this month?
So I'm going to try and do more of the talking to save your voice tonight, Bopper. We are talking about Brendan Fraser and his film Twilight of the Gold.
Fraser Phrase. Public Enemies, Fraser Phrase.
or the AFL umpire Razor Ray. Yeah, Razor. That's even nicher. But yeah, so this movie is one of the hardest ones we've had to find so far. We watched it because you just can't get it anywhere. It's not even listed on Just Watch. Dave found it in 7 parts on YouTube for us to watch. Just watch it first.
I needed a break
in between each part. You're like, oh, it's over. Oh no, there's 6 more parts to go.
Jess watched it first, and the messages started filtering through. This is awful. I don't even want to talk about this. I don't want to do a podcast about this. Then Dave watched it, and he sort of confirmed it. And then I watched it, thinking, this is going to be awful. I'm like, this. To me, it wasn't. His acting was good. The film was. The subject matter was super grim, but I thought I didn't mind the film compared to some others that we have watched.
But I mean, honestly, let's talk some more respect about for it. You for that.
Interesting. I mean, I think you wear things on your sleeve so hard that it's like if the storyline is grim and fucked, you're like, you just can't enjoy it, right? It makes it a lot harder anyway. I guess that's probably pretty standard though, isn't it? But yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I guess I could, if this was real life, if I'm watching a documentary about this, I wouldn't be able to watch it. But because I know it's sort of, and in my head, I was wondering if it was written in a way just to talk about the dangers of genetic testing like that in general.
Mm.
And how you know, ridiculous it is to choose whether a kid lives or dies based on some... Anyway, we should explain what the movie's about.
Yeah.
So it's a 1997 movie directed by Ross Kagan Marx, based upon a play with the same name, The Twilight of the Golds. And the cast is, despite the fact that... Basically, it's the Wikipedia page even is just basically a stub. It doesn't even break it up into just 1 or 2 paragraphs.
Yeah.
Despite the fact it's got some very, you know, quite successful people, including Brendan Fraser. You've got Jennifer Beals from Flashdance. Gary Marshall is the guy that wrote and directed a lot of stuff. Creator of Happy Days. Faye Dunaway, Academy Award winner. Also the one that accidentally said that the winner of the Best Picture was La La Land, when in fact it was Moonlight.
Yes.
You've got Rosie O'Donnell in there.
Terry Hatcher's husband at the time was the husband John Tenney.
So these are quite... And also Jack Klugman, who played Quincy, is in a cameo as the ultra-Orthodox Jewish father of... the aforementioned John Tenney's character. So these are the actors in it. So it's quite big, but do you get the feeling that they have sort of buried this movie a little bit?
Yeah, well, I think from what the little I found about it, it was initially going to be a made-for-TV film, and then for some reason it got a cinematic release, is what I sort of figured out. But I think it was quite a limited release.
Right.
So I think, you know,
it definitely
really
had the feel of a TV movie.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Because I thought it was a better movie than the majority that we've watched in this series, I reckon. Just the way it was put together, I thought it was relatively nicely done. I don't know. Am I losing my mind?
I am so surprised. I thought that you'd be hating this more than anyone. Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. His filmography has really changed my standards of what is... a good film, I think. The bar has been lowered. It has not been phrased as...
Oh, no, you lowered the bar.
But, I mean, maybe... I think we're about to get into his golden era, so I think things are about to change. But, in the film, the Terry Hatcher's... Or is it Terry Thatcher? Terry Hatcher's husband. I forgot his name. But he, in this play, is a scientist.
Like
or a
everyone
doctor.
Knows him from that.
No,
like
idea.
Everyone's like, oh, sorry, Terry Hatcher's husband in 1997. Yes, of course. Sorry, I'm with you now. Yep, I've got him.
So he's a scientist, a doctor, and he's working for a lab that is figured out some technology that is like cutting edge, where they can figure out everything about a baby before it's born. They've broken down the DNA genome sequence. Genome is a sewing brand, I think. Genome. But what's the thing? What am I trying to say, Dave? The
genomic sequence.
The genomic sequence, yes, and which is a great interlocking sewing dance machine. And so they reckon they've nutted this technology, and we meet the family a little bit. Brendan Fraser is an adult man, obviously, and his sister
Brendan Fraser is an adult woman,
and then his sister gets pregnant, but by this stage we learn that Brendan Fraser is a gay man, and we realise that his family is not at all supportive of this. Very old school, probably even for the 90s, I guess, although I mean I can't remember. But that's the other thing about watching this film. It's like, oh man, we've come a long way, or maybe this just isn't at all realistic of how things were in the 90s. I'm not sure, but yes, the film, I should say, was written by a gay man, or the play was, and then he also brought it to the screen as well. So I think knowing that maybe helped me be okay with all of this, because every character nearly in the whole film shows some homophobic tendencies.
Yeah.
And yeah. Well, you know, anyone who you've learned their opinion, it does feel that way, doesn't it? And some of them quite overtly, you know, feels like 100 years ago sort of homophobic stuff, including Fraser's dad especially, and to a lesser extent his mum.
Yeah, so, and like despite that, so the parents are like, we love our kids, we love you both so much, and in one sense you get like, oh, it's quite a loving family, but then they... as the movie goes on, it's subtle at the start and it gets more and more. Like in one of the opening scenes, the mum tells the daughter, played by Jennifer Beale, not to share food with her brother. And I guess that's implying that in case he's HIV positive or something like that. And it's little things like that. And then it gets more and more overt as
Well, in that same discussion, Fraser reveals that his partner wasn't invited to the dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, despite it seems like they're in a proper long-term relationship.
Yeah, that's right. They're living together and you're like, what the hell's going on here? So when I say I don't mind the film, I'm not at all saying I'm enjoying what's going on in the film. You know what I mean? There's like separate.
Yeah, I think there's two different... You definitely can separate yourself. Like you could enjoy the aforementioned movie, I just said, like Moonlight, that won the Academy Award for Best Picture. There's a lot of LGBTQI themes in there and people's... you know, having a very hard time, or like a movie like Philadelphia or something.
Yes.
Like these are critically acclaimed movies that you can enjoy without being like, I love exactly, you know, all these scenes or what's happening in the scene.
Yes. So we find out that Terry Hatcher's husband and her are having a baby. She reveals kind of
Sorry,
strange.
Just confirm. Terry Hatcher is not in the movie, just in case anyone's thinking.
No.
She might be in this film.
Her real life husband of the time and his partner in the film, Jessica Beals, was it?
Jennifer Beals.
Jennifer Beals. And she,
do you
she's
want to look
pregnant.
Up who her husband is just to make that easier for you?
She announces it in quite a strange way to the... her husband finds out that he's having a kid when she announces it to her parents and brother all at the same time. And that caused a bit of an argument, which I think maybe is understandable. It feels like maybe he should have found out first, probably. There's a lot of... There's just so many strange things.
His own reveal.
Yeah. Yes, they did it by exploding a tortoise and it exploded blue. as is an American tradition...
America.
I don't mean to
truly the land
tut on their
of
culture.
The free.
But and
can I just say I'm so sorry. I've just looked up Jennifer Beals' personal life here, and would you believe that between 1986 and now, 1997 was the only
year she wasn't married to someone.
Get out of town. She had a year off.
She was married to Alexandra Rockwell, divorced in 1996, but then 1998 married Ken Dixon. So
the tragically Alexandra Beale, yeah, or whatever her name is.
Alexandra Rockwell's ex-wife, Jessica Beale, Jennifer Beale.
Jennifer!
Does that clear it up for everyone?
Jessica Beale!
There is a Jessica Beale from Seventh Heaven,
yes,
right? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's right. Married to Justin Timberlake.
Oh, no kidding. Justin Timberlake's wife, Jessica Beale.
So the woman who's an actress and in real life, her name sounds like Justin Timberlake's wife.
Okay, now I think everyone's clear on what we're talking about. So it's revealed that to the whole family, to the whole Golds family, that's why it's called Twilight of the Golds, I guess, because they're the Golds family. And is it some sort of a play on the words? Is there a phrase, Twilight of the Gods or something?
Yeah, it is. It's like, that's the second time now, and I think we can probably use this going forward. Some of Brendan Fraser's worst movies are almost plays or puns on phrases that include the last name of the family. For example, Younger and Younger,
now
Twilight of the Gold.
That's right.
Of course.
So looking ahead, if there's any other movies with that title, we should probably avoid them.
So
Matt liked it, so let's keep going.
So then like is strong, but I just didn't hate it. I didn't hate it,
that's fine.
And I have hated or disliked a lot of the films I've watched. But so the family find out that Jennifer Beale's having a kid with Terry Hatcher's then husband. And but Terry Hatcher's then husband is sort of, he's doing for a job is finding out about what kids, before they're born, what they're going to be, down to if they're going to be smart, what color their hair is going to be, if they're left or right handed. Like it's almost a science fiction movie where they're saying that they can figure all of this out beforehand. And I mean, and since then they have finished mapping the DNA genome and stuff, but I don't think you can get the interlocker genome machine or whatever. But anyway, at this point, I think it must have been somewhat of a, you know, science fiction-y sort of idea, down to the fact that whether or not the kid will be, or what their sexual preferences will be and all these sort of things that you obviously are never going to be able to figure out. But in this film, that's what happened. And he got pressured in by his boss to do the testing on his own unborn child. And then the results come back. They find out probably going to be left-handed. Going to be quite intelligent. It's a boy, which we already knew from the exploded tortoise. But
can we also talk about how they did the test? In that they just got a needle, took some liquid out of her, and then put that into a little test tube. And I was like,
"Yeah,
what's that fluid? What's that you just took? Yeah. What's that?
Like
that's Janome.
Apple juice into a little beaker."
Yeah, I was like, "That's. I don't think." You just shove a gigantic needle straight into her. I don't think you'd do that, to be honest.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm no doctor. I don't know.
Was that maybe going into the sack? Am I using that term right? There's a sack involved, isn't there?
I mean just because I have a ute doesn't mean I know anything about it.
You got to hold an SS ute.
A sack is involved in most pregnancies, but usually earlier on in the piece.
Thank you, Dr. Dave. So they find out all these things about it, including that the unborn child is going to be gay, a gay man, 90% sure.
90% chance.
Yeah.
But born a boy, not born a man.
No, yes, sorry, not born a gay man.
We'll be
you're
a baby.
Actually going to give birth to a gay man.
28 years old.
And trust me, he's going to hate it even more than you will.
This movie's going to... That would make the movie a bit more understandable, everyone's reaction. They'd be like, are you sure you want a 28-year-old baby?
Do you want to have the baby stage, or do you just want to have someone your own age? Do you want to give birth to someone your own age?
Somehow your son will be older than you from day one.
But he still can't walk or feed himself, so you are going to have to to teach him that stuff.
It's a real man baby. So, and this starts off the trouble within the family. They're all at first the couple who are having the kid. They're starting to discuss whether or not they see the pregnancy through, and this is sort of the crux of the grimness of the whole story. They're actually deciding. Yeah, and it is full. It's full on. Some of the discussions they have, it is a lot.
Yeah,
I found a review
just,
of the film.
You know what it is? It's not just the conversations they're having. It's some of the language that they're using. I just feel like, I mean, you made a very good point, Matt, when you said that it was written by a gay man. And so I understand sort of the point. I just found it so heavy-handed that I was just like, you've gone too far and it's so ridiculous.
Yes, yes.
It's sort of like over the top that I was just like, I can't handle this.
It's very, very soapy, almost like soapy level drama, interpersonal drama and stuff. And I don't know if that's comes from it being a stage show initially. You know, does it have to be bigger for the stage? That's acting more than, the actual dialogue and stuff. So I'm not sure. It's not like they're acting big like that, but yeah, it is. It's all very full on.
They keep turning towards the audience though. And they do that a lot.
The curtain kept coming down. And I was like, what's happening? What's happening? Are we in their house? Why is there a curtain?
What do you think of the so Brendan Fraser's character is he's a theatre type. That's a weird way to put that.
He's a theatre director.
Theatre director. And he loves The Ring Cycle by
Wagner.
So he's obsessed with this, and he gives it on CD as a gift every year to his sister, apparently.
The people who hate it, they say, stop.
She doesn't want
stop
it.
Stop telling us about Wagner. And he's like, nah, you'll love it. You'll love it. And he's directing, like, a play based. So The Ring Cycle is, like, a series of, like, operas that go for, like, 24 hours. But he's doing the 8-hour condensed version. Thank you very much. Sparing the audience. And he's directing that. That's sort of like the subplot of the film is he's focusing on that. And I'm sure that's meant to be very, very symbolic. And they even try at the end to try and use a plot line from the character in that. So that The Ring Cycle, that's where like a Ride of the Valkyries, you know that?
Yeah, very dramatic sort of. Maybe does Burns play it when he's in the tank on The Simpsons, but someone's taped over it with a poppier number? Is that it? Am I making up a memory?
It's very famously used by, in a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, one of the most famous Bugs Bunny, enduring Bugs Bunny cartoons. Him and Elmer Fudd are, like, you know, chasing each other around, and
as they do,
it's that thing where that classic image of like an opera lady wearing like a Viking style horns actually comes from this.
There was a few weird light sequences in this as well, like when he's casting the opera. Wasn't that was kind of a strange sequence where they were just like real hapless people auditioning.
Yeah,
it was just like a different film for about 3 minutes. Because in the end, like at the end of the film, we see the opera, and it's just people who are good. So it wasn't like it wasn't going to be. It almost felt like it was going to be this weird comedy version of it with these people who were no good, and they were sort of like just community theatre people. But yeah, that was just for the auditions where there was three. It felt like a mini sketch or something. It was a bit strange. Bit of light relief, I guess.
Yeah, was it supposed to sort of, maybe light relief or maybe make it seem like he wasn't very good at what he did?
Right.
Like it was going to be shit?
Yeah, it did kind of made me feel like it was going to be shit, even though he could tell they were shit and he wasn't stoked with the people who were auditioning.
Yeah.
Another, I was kind of nervous when you said how bad it was. I was quite nervous that he was going to play like a stereotype, but I thought he was pretty good in this, you know, acting wise. He's made me cringe more in previous films. I thought he was all right in this. What do you reckon?
Yeah, he was okay. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it was fine, and I agree. I think if it had been a really stereotypical super camp a gay character, but being played by a straight actor, I think it would have been a lot more like, ugh.
The guy who played his partner, I recognise from something. I can't put my finger on it. I was thinking he was from Two Guys, a Girl and a Pizza Place, but it's something like that. A sitcom from...
He's been in a lot of stuff.
90s or early 90s.
Yeah, I definitely recognise him as well.
I liked him as an actor.
I feel like he's played a dad.
Right. His character I liked less as it went. I mean, he was quite a likeable character, but some of his actions were quite strange, I thought, as the movie went along, which we'll get to, I suppose. So, as the film moves on... Terry Hatcher's husband's wife in the film she's really trying to think about whether she's seeing this pregnancy through or not, and she talks to her mum about it first, maybe, and then the dad finds out about it, and the dad basically says he would abort the baby, doesn't he? I don't know if says it, but
he tries to say, look, it's your choice, it's your choice, it's your choice. But then, ultimately, he says his opinion, which is that she shouldn't go through with the baby.
Yeah, so it's so full on. And then, and he's sort of saying it in, you know, it's basically, we saw how hard it was for Fraze growing up as a gay man. Things were harder, that, you know, there were other challenges. So, yeah, and that was sort of like the justification. But really, it feels like underneath that, it's more like they felt it was harder for them. And I was trying to picture them by current age standards, the parents in the film, and who would be the grandparents. And I think they must have been like born in the 30s sort of thing. So, you know, they'd be quite old. If you're trying to picture them now, I don't know if that makes their characters more believable or whatever. I don't think they were particularly believable, but, you know, you're not like modern day 60-year-olds, you know, wouldn't think would be behaving like this. I don't know why I'm trying to go so much into the logic of it, because I don't think it is even meant to be a particularly realistic film in any way, really, is it?
Mm.
Like you say, it's all up and bigger and sort of kind of over the top and, yeah.
Yeah.
It is a hard one to talk about, I got to say.
Yeah, it's definitely a hard one to make fun. I've just remembered where I know that guy from. I've been sitting here scrolling through his IMDb, through TV shows. Mm-hmm. Do you know where I know him from?
This is Fraser's boyfriend.
Yes, Fraser's boyfriend is in Princess Diaries. Is that what you were thinking of, Matt?
What?
No, what's his name?
Do you know who...
His name is Sean O'Brien. He is in Two Guys, a Girl and a Pizza Place, but it's like one episode.
Oh.
I don't off the top of my head, Dave. Why are you asking?
The director is Gary Marshall, who played the dad in this movie.
Oh.
Okay.
Who also created Happy Days.
Mate, that's amazing.
So maybe that's where he got him from. And he was like, hey, you were really good in that movie when we, you know, were in the 90s. Let's
do it.
I think if I'm looking at the right guy, Dave, I think he was also in an episode of Diagnosis Murder.
Mm-hmm.
Really? This is Sean?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's played a man named Ted a lot. He's been in a lot of TV shows. A lot of them he's been in for like one episode. And I just kept like seeing the name Ted coming up.
That's so good.
Right. Is there a Tediverse where he's the same Ted across all these shows?
I can only assume yes.
He was in a few episodes of 6 Feet Under.
Yep.
Yeah, he's just been in everything, but most of the things that he had a long-term role in, I have not even heard of. But he's had quite a long career. I love it. He was in these kind of actors. He was in Murder, She Wrote 3 times, each time as a different character.
Oh, wow. That's how good he is.
I would love to be that level because he has worked consistently over a long period of time, but he can still go shopping.
Yeah. People go, I know you from somewhere. He'd get that a little bit. Do I know? Do we go to school? That sort of stuff.
No. Yeah, and he'd go, nah.
Nah.
Show one of those faces. He'd say that. Amazing. So where are we up to plot-wise? Have we gone through essentially the whole plot?
Honestly, from here, there's not that much else, really, is there?
Yeah, no,
so
I think the
crux of it is...
To this point, they've kept it from the phrase, because they're like, he can't know, because they're basically deciding whether they're... You know, he would see it as they're deciding on his life, basically, which is exactly how he sees it when his mum sort of spills the beans on it. And... Yeah, he kind of pleads with his sister. He's like, this is me. And she's telling him he's being selfish. And she says, I helped you get an abortion when you were younger. And he said, that was very different. This is not the same thing. That was, I didn't want to have it. I was so young and it was unplanned and this sort of stuff. This, you wanted to have a kid and you're deciding, this is quite different. She sort of wasn't listening. Yeah, so then how did it... And he sort of confronts his parents and his dad. He goads his dad into finally being honest with him, and his honesty was, he never really said anything straight out, but he basically was like, it would have been easier if he wasn't around or something like that. I mean, as I'm reading...
Doesn't he tell him that he... He tells him that he thinks he's sick.
His disease.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah,
which
that's right.
That's the most full-on bit of the whole movie.
So Fraser obviously just wants to... He's like, all right, I'm out. He leaves. Faye Dunaway is trying to stop him from going, but he's like, I'm glad I finally know how you really feel. Like, I'm out of the family. And he doesn't... his mum tries to call a lot and his partner sort of is pleading and he's like, you can't leave your family. You can't let them go. And I'm like, I reckon he can. I think he definitely can.
Yeah.
I think that is totally reasonable
after
for
what
him
his dad said. Yeah.
To just break off from his... But his partner's been really strange to me. He's like, you can't leave your family behind. You know, they're a part of you. You've got to try and reconcile. I'm like... As a partner.
Does he say something about maybe he doesn't have a good relationship with his family, so he's kind of, being like, you know your family, you got to stick by them. Maybe he's sort of projecting his own sort of relationship with his
family. To me, it felt parents. Very strange. I mean, a lot of it is very strange, but that bit was just like, they got such a nice relationship. It's so weird that he doesn't understand what the phrase is going through there. And anyway, so the boyfriend, he basically, behind Fraser's back, becomes friendly with the parents who he would never been invited around to have dinner with them or anything like that. But he ended up playing tennis with the dad behind Fraser's back. Fraser's like, I don't want to have anything to do with them. And then he ends up going over to their place for dinner by himself. And then it brings it back to the end of the film.
And that scene is basically like the dad is like, starts respecting his son's boyfriend because he's good at sport.
He's good at sport, yeah, and also, oh, right. and he also doesn't respect theatre. The boyfriend's like, yeah, I don't understand what he does. It was that stuff was so clumsy. There was so much stuff you would change in this film, but all of that was very, very clumsy. When you know what they're trying to do is give the dad a reason to sort of have an arc where he becomes more human, you know, by the end. But anyway, yeah, so that, and then the next thing we see is the family have rocked up. It's the debut of the play, The Ring Cycle, and the phrase has them there. The boyfriend has invited Fraser's family without, sort of behind Fraser's back.
Yep.
And in my head, I'm like, geez, he's not going to be happy with this. But that he was like, basically, oh, really? Dad's invited him to dinner and, oh, all this stuff behind my back. When I'm thinking like, oh, this is going to really make the shit hit the fan. That was like the happy ending, sort of. The more I talk about this film, the less I like it. I don't know. I think...
Yeah, and then they came back together and it felt a little bit rocky, but it felt like that was the start of him reconnecting with the family and maybe them slightly accepting his, you know, him and his partner for who they are, you know, from this point on, maybe. And the other thing is Jennifer Beale has since split up with Terry Hatcher's then husband.
Oh, yes, that's right. There was this long scene where he's ripped in the shower and you can see right down to those those things, the sort of diagonal lines. I know they're sometimes called cum gutters, the V. And you just sort of,
what are they sometimes called?
Are they not called cum gutters? Am I making that up?
I like it.
You like it.
It's very funny.
Jess's face is saying the opposite of that. I thought that was a common term.
Cum gutter as a phrase?
Is that not a common term?
I hate that so much.
But have you heard it before?
Never heard that, I'm afraid.
No, right.
I think so.
Anyway, apologies if that's a bit uncouth. But anyway, I'm just like looking at this. I'm like, this ripped guy in the shower being an absolute arsehole. He's the worst guy in the movie. Why? I'm just like,
is that the only thing you remember from this movie?
I was just watching it going, what an interesting choice to have him there. He's flexing in the shower, having an argument, like breaking up with his wife because she wants to keep the baby and he doesn't. And he's like, and she's like, well, what will happen to us if I keep the baby? And it turns out he leaves her for it. Like, he's of all the bad people in the film, he is the worst, and he does not deserve any sort of happy ending. But they kind of give him one as well. Like, they try and, in this voiceover right at the end, they try and give everyone... I'm like, this guy's fucked. He's obviously... He's the... Of all the villains in this film, he's the biggest villain. And I know he's Terry Hatcher's husband at this stage. At the time.
And... But looking at that, why would Terry Hatcher break up with him? He looks great.
Yeah. Great cum maintenance.
All right, so the final scene is, as Matt alluded to there, a voiceover from Brendan Fraser, which how many of these movies have we watched that it's ended with a voiceover basically saying, and that's the end of the story, really. It's just home video footage. Home video footage of Jennifer Beale, his sister... playing with her now son, who's like a toddler in the video, and him saying what happened sort of after this. And one of them is that the dad, Terry Hatcher's then husband, sees him on the weekend and is actually quite a good dad, is what he says.
Dad.
Yeah, it's like, and, why have they...
The movie...
He broke up with a woman who he clearly, at the start of the film, they were in a good relationship. It seemed quite loving. And then he left her because she was going to have their child. And then they give him this ending where he's quite a great dad. I'm like, why did they... They should have said he died walking across the road or something, you know? He got hit by a bus.
Matt, And just so everyone's aware, Matt's the one who liked the movie.
I mean, the more, you know, I think it was because you both said it was the worst film you'd ever seen that I think maybe my expectations were set differently.
No.
So it's not the worst film I've ever seen. That you loved this movie. It's not even.
I never said I loved it. I just said I didn't hate it.
You said you adored it, and it's entirely our fault.
No. I thought that. I mean,
remember when you gave it 5 stars in the group chat?
There was some. There was.
We only rated out of 4, mate. You had a 5th one.
I really like the scene where Rosie O'Donnell didn't really trust Jessica Biel to make this hard phone call to a supplier. And then Jessica Biel sort of just took them apart. I don't know.
That was fun.
Yeah, what that was saying.
That was a great scene.
But that was sort of after
she's standing up for herself.
Yeah, she started standing up for herself.
She's not a pushover anymore.
That was either just before or just after her and her partner had the big scene in the shower with the diagonal lines.
Cum gutters.
Oh, Jess, not your words, not mine.
So that's the plot. And you're at home, you might be thinking, they might be thinking that, cough, cough. But they also might be thinking, is this movie for me? Well, don't worry. On IMDb, people are able to assign keywords to a movie. Just, you know, you maybe can find a movie a bit easier. This movie has 101 keywords attached to it. I'm going to read some of them out. See if you think this really represents the movie. Okay. Ambulance. Aquarium. Clothing store. Bare-chested male.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Baby shower.
Let's get to the gutters.
Cousin. Cousin relationship. Brother-in-law, sister-in-law relationship.
Were there any cousins? Mm-hmm. Or was the...
I don't remember that at all.
The mum with the toddler, was she a cousin?
Employer-employee relationship.
Yes, employee-employee, yes.
Food.
They're really padding out the keyword search here.
Yeah.
Dave, can I tell
menopause.
You...
Menopause. Was that in there? Was that...
No.
I don't think so. Dave, can I tell you, and I don't know if I want to necessarily, but I probably should tell you, this Hollywood kind of ending was not how the play ended.
Oh, yes. How
so
did the play end?
Jonathan Tolans, who's the writer, and I found an art. There was a piece about him in... I found there was like a feature article written about him, and they mentioned the plays and screenplays that he'd written that he was famous for, and this did not come up. But apparently it got a lot of attention when it was out at the theatres, and it got quite good reviews until it made it to Broadway. And when it made it to Broadway, it got panned a bit, or according to the Wikipedia page, was largely clobbered, which I enjoyed the phrasing there. Jennifer Grey was Suzanne in the stage version. It had a pretty big cast. It ran for 29 showings and was largely clobbered. But in the play, they didn't have that sort of happy ending. In the play, she actually has the abortion late in pregnancy, and then according to Wikipedia, results in her inability to bear any more children.
Oh, my goodness.
And David also is estranged from the family in the film. And I think David must be Fraser's character.
Oh, my God. I don't think I could have handled it if that's how it
finished. No. Because it's funny because I was like, oh, this is so grim, and it's not the ending is sort of trying to be happier, but it could be way better. They could have... But the play was... Imagine leaving a play with that. I don't know. Anyway. Yes.
Wow, there you go. So it could have been even more grim.
Yes, so grim. I think we should put some sort of a warning at the top of this episode, Bop, somehow.
A bit of a content warning.
But yeah, so compared to a lot of the films that we've had have been panned, would you guys want to have a guess on what the Tomatometer rated it as?
Ooh. Now, that's audience or
reviews?
Reviews.
over 7 reviews got to this score.
Okay. I'm going to say 2.
No, 43. 43%.
I'm going to say 43.
Yes, you are correct, Jess. And what do you reckon the audience would say?
Okay. I forgot it was... I thought it was out of 5. So 40 would have been.
Oh, you were quite close then. I thought you were continuing on your hatred of the film.
No.
But I mean, I just
thought it was... I thought...
And that
it felt like critics might give it a 2, right, 2 stars,
which
out of
5. Yes, yeah. So you're right. That is on average of the 7. There was a few who liked it. There was a 4 out of 5, 3 out of 4, 3 out of 4. But then there were, it's like a 1 out of 5, 2 out of 5, 2 out of 4 as well. So it ended up sort of averaging out to 43%, and 46% from the audience. Yeah.
Oh, so audience liked it. Yeah, not really. Yeah. That's not really good. No. But like, honestly, it's probably better than the average that some of us will give it.
Yes.
In a minute.
I think so. So should we move on to that, giving our scores? Because unfortunately,
yes, because yeah, there's sadly on the IMDb page no goofs or you know, hope someone should have been fired for that blunder. Sadly, no blunders.
No blunders. It was a perfect film. No goofs. No blunders.
That's right.
All right. So, would you two like to give some scores?
What is I'm assuming the lowest I've given is Younger and Younger.
You gave, yes, Younger and Younger. You gave, and Passion of Darkly Noon. You gave both of those 0.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go 0.5 again.
0.5 again.
Wow.
4.
Mm-hmm. And that's out of 4 for people at home. We'd rate them out of 4. 4 is a perfect score.
Like an old Nokia phone.
And how
bars.
About...
Full bars is 4. So what's full this, bars. What's this film called again?
Phrases. Twilight of the Golds.
The Twilight of the Golds or just Twilight of the Golds?
I think The Twilight.
The Twilight.
So
yeah, I'm going to give the film itself a 0.5. I think for phrase, I would go 2.
2 for Boppa. Dave, what do you reckon? The worst you've given, if you need that, was Passion of Darkly Noon, you gave 1.5.
And that's
the
worst,
you've done.
Oh, no, sorry, Dave. That was for phrase. That's the worst you've given. The worst you've given is also 0.5, which you gave for Younger and Younger and The Passion of Darkly Noon.
Okay, well, I am going to say that I think this film was better than those two films. They are still two of the worst films I've ever seen
I think
life.
That's one of the big reasons why this seems okay. Is because those were so hard to watch. And this was hard to watch in a different way. But, yeah.
Mm.
And I'm going to give it 1 out of 4.
1 out of 4. Okay. And for the phrase?
And before we move on, because I'm sure people will comment on this, I did not get this reference, but the film title, Twilight of the Golds, I'm sure that is a pun on Twilight of the Gods, which is the English name for the last of the 4 operas in Wagner's Ring Cycle.
Okay,
so
there
I think
you
go. That's trying to tie it all together.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And I'm going to give the phrase himself. I thought he did pretty well with the character. I'm going to give him a 2.5 bars out of 4.
2.5 bars for the phrase. All right. My worst I've given was 0.1 for Younger and Younger. I gave The Passion of Darkly Noon 0.25. I think it was definitely better than both of those. I think so. I gave With Honors 2. I liked it more than that slightly. Now and then I gave 2.2. So I think maybe it's in between those. So I'm going to say 2.1.
2. You liked it more than With Honors. That's
I really did not like With Honors at all. I found that a hard watch. And he was not good in that as well.
Fair. I can't remember it.
But I thought he was good in this.
It's the one with Joe Pesci.
Ah, yes.
I thought he was good in this. I thought he was quite good. What was Mrs. Winterbourne? Because I gave him 3.5 in that. I can't remember that at all. That was the last one we did.
That's what was with Ricky last Lake. Month.
Yeah, when he was playing the brothers, one dead, one not so dead.
Amazing. Whoa. What are we doing to ourselves?
The second one, the first brother died, and the second one, he was an arsehole for the first 90% of the movie and then really turned it around and became a nice person.
All right, I'm going to give him 3.75.
Just a little bit of good news. Sorry, Matt, I forgot that you were still scoring. My apologies. But the next film that we're going to be watching is George of the Jungle.
Oh,
this is the one. This is your favourite, isn't it?
At least it's fun to watch.
I am looking forward to it. I'm very much looking forward to watching it. You have both seen it more recently than me because this whole show started on one of Matt's primates.
Yes.
Episodes. But
yeah, good point.
So it'd be interesting to go back and see if you're still digging it.
Yeah,
which I assume
this time we're not just looking at it for the ape perspective.
Yes, I don't know if I did enjoy it that much that time. I have very little memory of it. It was pretty silly. But yeah, I've just worked out the averages we've got for all of them. So Jess, your average score for Phrase is 2.7 out of 4. Dave's is 2.58. Mine is 2.9. So on average, I'm a bit more generous with the Phrase. In terms of movie scores, Jess, your average is the lowest, 1.8. So overall, you've given his films a fail mark. I'm a little bit more generous, 2.2. But Dave's been the most generous with 2.3. I mean, that says a bit, doesn't it? That the most generous one has given it 2.3 out of 4 on average for the filmography of Brendan Fraser. I said his name wrong. That's how much we love him here. Brendan Fraser.
Fraser.
But, yeah, I mean, it's funny. I can't wait for the Mummy episode where we get to do it live. Jeez, I hope I still like that film. I remember liking it 20 years ago.
I reckon you will.
I'm starting to think we've lost Dave. Have we lost Dave, Jess?
Yeah, I think he's frozen. So, look, let's just fuck it off. What do you reckon?
Yeah. Well, you've got to remember Dave's famous outro, whatever he says at the end. I think it's something like, eat my shit or something like that.
He always says, how about you eat my shit?
That's right. All right. Well, I'll say goodbye. Thanks so much.
It's good stuff.
Dave, you're back. I think you're back. I can see you, Dave. You're moving. This must be fun for the listeners.
Oh, my God.
I wish you could see Dave. He's looking.
The delay is insane. But he's
not... Yes, you're way out of sync for me, Bopper.
Yeah, you too.
Oh, good. That's great. Well, this feels like a good time to wrap it up then. I don't think Dave's going to... No.
Yeah, he's on
blocking
his phone.
The whole screen with his hands. We got a real close-up on his hand. Looking at his phone. All right, so if you want to bring it home, Jess, and then I'll tell everyone to eat my shit. All right.
Okay, well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Phrasing the Bar. Sorry about this. You can catch it again next month. And until then, we'll say... Enjoy these cum gutters.
Why don't you go eat my shit?
Bye.
Laters.